The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Live from West Babylon, New York, this is Sports Talk 1240.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this Sunday, April 23rd, 2017. I had a look and see on John's keyboard here. Broadcasting live from the studios of WGBB in West Babylon, New York. Gary Harding and John Sweeney with you. And John Panarese, I believe, is calling from his bungalow somewhere in downtown Buffalo. John, are you there?
Well, not downtown Buffalo, East Amherst.
East Amherst. Okay, yeah, you want to make it sound better. That's right. If you want to be in Buffalo, East Amherst is the place to be.
Well, lots of news here in Buffalo. They fired Tim Murray and they fired Dan Bousman.
Oh, yeah, we'll talk about that in a few seconds. Also, I just want to introduce Brad Kurtzberg from InsideHockey.com to talk NHL puck with us. Brad, as always, you're always a welcome addition to the show.
Always a pleasure to be here.
He's taking care of your seat very well, John, by the way.
Okay, good. I trust him.
Yeah, exactly.
If it was that Wozniak guy, I'd have a problem.
Yeah, well.
Do you trust me, Johnny?
What's going on, Mr. Sweeney?
How are you?
All right, so Brad, let's start talking puck. I mean, we were talking a lot actually on the ride here and, you know, waiting to come on. Obviously, the Boston Bruins are now out of the playoffs. Ottawa with another overtime win. You know, 17 overtime wins in the first round. I think it's tied for the most ever. So, I mean, what's been your the overall synopsis so far? Anything really surprised you?
Chicago losing as quickly as they did certainly surprised me.
And you can see the big smile on my face right now.
Absolutely. I don't expect a Joel Quenneville coach team to be out that quickly or to look as unprepared seemingly as the Blackhawks did to fall that flat. But I'll tell you this, all these overtimes, all these close games, it's been exciting hockey. And as a hockey fan, that's what you look for first and foremost.
Exactly. I mean, I know the two of the people in this room and one person that's on the other side of the line, you know, may not be totally happy with the results, but you got to admit the Ranger Canadian series was an absolutely well played series from both sides of the puck.
Yes, I agree. Playoff hockey. Yeah, it's playoff hockey. It was great. Hank stood on his head. He's playing like he was a few years back. And
Derek, did you hear that? Did you, Derek? Can you hear me?
Well, I have to stand corrected. I have to bow down to Derek. I was wrong, and I admit it. I had told him that I thought Montreal would win it in six, so I stand corrected.
But you know what? Honestly, like I said, taking our affiliates out of our heads and looking at it, you know, kind of like what Brad does here, you know, either way, either team could have won that series in six. Every game was that close. You know, one bad play, one silly shift. Every game could have went the other way.
One bad line change. And I'll tell you, as a hockey fan, it was just great to watch Price and Lundqvist go save for save, shift for shift. Those are two of the best goalies in the game right now, and watching them do what they do and do it well made for a very exciting series.
I agree. And I think the Rangers had a little more firepower. Hey, look, Montreal, in that overtime game, which we talked about, two games ago, Montreal was dead in the overtime. They were dead. It looked like they didn't even want to be there. They were struggling to be there.
And look, if you're a Canadian,
in the beginning of that game, Montreal looked great in the beginning of that game.
They came out like gangbusters in that game. And that's the game they had to win. That was game five.
That was the game
they had to win. But if you're a Montreal Canadiens fan right now, you're putting out an APB for Max Pacioretty. Where was he in this series?
Again, no goals in the last four games of the season. None in the six games in the playoffs. Only had 1 point. He absolutely looked like he was skating around looking for something to do. It was funny. They interviewed Gallagher before game six, and he was saying they were looking for passion. They were looking for, you know, all these things. And you know, you expect a lot more from your captain. And, you know, everybody knows maybe there's a little secret deep down. You know, he was a Ranger fan growing up in Connecticut. But I don't think that's the case. And you know what? I'm sure he's going to be doing a heck of a lot of soul searching in the next few months. And obviously, I would expect him to come back even more gangbusters next year than this year. But again, Hank played tremendous. I think his counterpart on the other side, Carey Price, played just as tremendous as Hank did. I mean, just a great pass to Zuccarello to get that game winner in overtime in Game 5.
That was
you know, it was a tremendous. I mean, no one would have stopped that.
Well, that wasn't Zuccarello. That was Zanabrak.
Zibanejad.
I'm sorry.
Zibanejad.
I get those.
Zuccarello had both goals in game six.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was a play that no one would have stopped.
No one could have.
And no one could have.
That was the perfect pass coming across. That was not Price's fault, that goal. Price,
that's what I'm saying. You can't
shot. Did what he had to do. But hey, it was a great series. Like Montreal and the Rangers are. Like it was a couple of years ago. It's a great series. Every time they play.
And now, obviously, the Rangers will take on the Ottawa Senators, who beat Boston today. And was it Hoffman that got the goal?
MacArthur got the goal.
In overtime. On a penalty.
And he hasn't played. He was thinking of retiring. He was hurt for a while. But, you know, as a Ranger, if you're a Ranger fan right now, you're going to be sitting pretty good because you got to be saying to yourself, look, we got one down. That was a tough series. We got Ottawa coming. We're going to take on Ottawa. And, hey, look, like I think it's going to be Pittsburgh and the Rangers in going to the.
Well, they can't take Ottawa too lightly because regular season obviously doesn't matter. They went 2-1 against Ottawa. Went 2-1 against the Rangers. The Rangers had gone 3-0 against Boston. So, I mean, they're playing a team that they have a little bit tougher time against, I believe, during the regular season. But again, as a result, anything can happen. You know, you've got a team in Ottawa that's playing their butts off for a goaltender who's had such a tough year in Craig Anderson.
Personally,
professionally.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, right. You know,
a feel good story, if ever there
exactly.
was one.
Exactly. And I mean, Erik Karlsson is just a minutes chewer. I mean, 41 minutes in that double overtime game in game five. Yeah, he's playing through a hairline fracture, right. I mean, he's playing hurt.
Only hockey players do so. I mean, it's crazy.
But wait, now how come no lower body injury, though?
Someone must have leaked
Somebody
it.
Must have leaked
Somebody
it.
Must have leaked
Uh-oh,
it.
Uh-oh, Bruce Garriak and the Ottawa Sun's going to be in trouble. But, again, I expect, I think with Ottawa, a little more of a fast-flying series. I mean, the Rangers obviously changed their game plan after game four and came out flying. I think it was a big reason for their beating Montreal. They combated speed with speed, and they hit everything they could.
And that's what they had to do.
But, you know, they've been playing like that most of the year. I know they had a little bump in the road when Hank came back, and then Hank wasn't playing that great. But the Rangers got faster this year. They were a faster team, the defense. And McDonough stepped up his game. He took that hit. He came back. He was throwing body and everything else like that. That guy turned things around himself.
And you know who else did? And he's one of those guys who has not been a fan favorite at the Garden in recent years. Dan Girardi.
Yeah.
Dan Girardi.
He had a miserable season.
He did. But he looked darn good in this Montreal series. And you know, the interesting thing about the Montreal series, you talked about the style of play. In the first four games, realistically, these two teams were almost like mirror images of each other, and they're both trying to win 2-1.
Right.
Ottawa is sort of more or less plays a style similar to the way the Rangers opened the season, trying to win 5-4.
Mm-hmm.
A lot more speed, a lot more wide open, and they have to deal with Karlsson. He is really the linchpin that makes the Ottawa offense go.
And I think, seeing a little bit of Ottawa during the season, I thought Dion Phaneuf had a horrible season, and he came back, obviously, game winner in overtime. Was that game three or game two?
One of them,
it was one of the early games, but yeah, it was game three in Boston. That's right.
Right.
And, he's come back and played well. So, I mean, you got a lot of factors going, and it's going to, again, those are the types of things that makes playoffs to me better than, you know, the playoffs in hockey better than any other.
And I think in no sport is there as noticeable a difference between watching a playoff game and watching a regular season.
And of course now as we're speaking, the second period is just about to start in Toronto. No score between the Maple Leafs and the Canadiens. Game six. Obviously, Toronto making it a great thing for the city. They haven't made the playoffs in a bunch of years. The ACC has been dormant, but now, you know, it's louder than I think it's ever been. And watching these young, talented, hungry kids. Obviously, Auston Matthews leading the way. But again, you got a lot of good young kids on this team that I think for a long time Toronto's going to be a potential force to reckon with a great coach like Mike Babcock.
Yeah, they did a great job.
They definitely are. And I think they're giving Washington just about as much as they can handle at this point.
Yeah, I tweeted it, I think, during Game 5. Win or lose this series, the Maple Leafs kids are getting valuable playoff experience. Yeah. They will learn what it takes to win in the playoffs as a result of this experience.
Yeah, and the same, and again, turning around and looking at the Western Conference, the same thing is true with the Edmonton Oilers. However, in their case, they came out with a 3-1 win last night, winning the series in 6. Connor McDavid, obviously, you know, we all know, you know, what a story he's been, you know, but, John, both, Brad and I were talking, before we came on the air. To me, I don't know how much of that series you got to get involved with, but Leon Draisaitl is a monster.
Yeah. He, from what I've read, he had a tremendous series.
I mean, you know, no points in the first 4 games, and that little jab between somebody's legs, you know, which didn't get him a suspension, got him a fine, but you know what? It woke him up.
Yeah.
You know, a couple assists in Game 5. I mean, that ridiculous breakaway in Game 6, and just being, you know, this other side of the huge monster, you know, between, you know, him and Lucic surrounding Connor McDavid. I mean. You know,
that was the key, bringing Milan Lucic in there.
Oh, that was without question. Without question. The Edmonton.
I was kind of hoping when he was floating around last year, we were going to get him. I was looking forward to that. I think he would have helped a lot of the kids, a lot of the guys.
He would have, and he's the kind of guy that leads by example. And it's funny. You get a guy like Lucic out on the ice. All of a sudden, Connor McDavid has a little more room to maneuver out there. Not that he
can't do it on his own.
No. But he has a little more room. And look, in hockey, space and time is everything. You ask any young hockey player coming up from juniors or coming up from the AHL, what's the biggest difference? Size and time. Time and space. Time and space. And if you create, especially for superstar players like McDavid, you give him that extra half second, puck's in the back of the net.
Yep. That's right, yeah.
And, again, former Ranger goaltender Kent Talbot standing on his head.
Yes.
Especially last night against San Jose when they were putting the barrage on him.
Last 6 minutes of that game was like a shooting gallery.
Mm-hmm.
And he
won 40 games this year, too. He had a great year.
It showed, you know, obviously, you know, the Rangers wanted to keep him, but, you know, with Hank there, it was just impossible. But, you know, now they got to go and face the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. Jeez. Oh, fine me a dollar for that. You know, who obviously, oh, my God, look what just walked in the building.
Oh. You know, I just want to bring up one thing. Getting back to Washington again.
Please sit down, my friend. No, you're welcome to.
The number one Ranger fan, Mr. Hockey, just stepped through the door. Johnny.
Roger Bear?
You know, Roger Bear?
And he brought
donuts. He brought donuts.
He brought donuts.
Okay.
He brought Dunkin' Donuts, French Toast Donuts.
French Crullers.
Because I told him I was going to make him a French Toast Shake. Because I thought Montreal was going to...
I brought it in honor of you busting my chops.
Hold on.
I brought you French crullers. And outside, while you guys are talking out on the hockey or Mets or whatever else...
No, we talked
I'm
going to
be eating some French toast in honor of you. We just a French toast shake from 2014.
Bon appetit.
Hold on.
He didn't text me or call me after last night. I said, you know
why would I?
He's going to sneak over to do that show
Why would I? Look.
I said, I got to go out to my cousin's for a little work on my hip. I said,
did you check out?
I have to bring him some gifts.
Did you check the sticker on the back of your car? Let's go Islanders.
Do you see the logo on that coffee cup?
Yeah.
Every morning when you have your coffee, I want you to think of that.
You got to be very ecstatic right now that you're playing Ottawa right now. And you're going to be playing probably Pittsburgh. No,
don't try.
I know how it works.
Usually he tries to jinx me.
I hear you now.
Every game last series, every game, halfway through the game, he didn't do it last night, and he didn't do it in the overtime game. But the first 4 games, every night he would text me like some part of the game, oh, Hank's hot, Hank's on fire, trying to put the kibosh on Hank.
I was drinking a cup of coffee every night, and Edmonton was winning. And then he asked me how my coffee was when they lost that overtime game. I said it was ice cold.
Ice cold. I had to pull over that was funny. The timing on that joke was perfect.
The rivalry personified. It's come home to roost. I love it.
It is. It's great.
Come home to roost.
I got to be honest with you. And he didn't do this when we were cops. Because I met him when I worked in the city a long time ago, in the early 90s. In fact, when the Islanders beat Pittsburgh with Folek's goal, I actually was happy because at that point I hated Pittsburgh more than anything. I was actually one of the few times I rooted for the Islanders in a playoff series. But he didn't really get into it with me. There were other Islander fans that were paying neck then, but the Rangers won the cup. I was ecstatic. But I'm telling you, when the Rangers missed the playoffs for seven straight years, and I was working out here in Suffolk as a cop, and my partner was a big time Islander fan. This guy, Matt Rosano, Sergeant Rosano, over in the first now. And when we worked together in one inch, I never gave him a hard time. When the Islanders played like Toronto in the playoffs and Ottawa, right? When they had Laviolette and those guys. And I didn't get upset. I rooted for them because he was my partner. I was happy. Right. You know, Bates had the big
good. You were never happy at the Islanders and
winning. No, I liked Osgood. Yashin did all right. You know, Backpack, all those guys. It was fine. Not that I was sitting there rooting for them, but I wasn't upset that they were winning games or going seven games in a series or whatever they were doing in their playoff rounds. But I gotta say this, when I got back in contact with John, and the last, actually really didn't even start till the Rangers went on that playoff run to the Stanley Cup in 2014, but he, personally, him alone, out of all the Islander fans that exist in this county, has made it more enjoyable to hate the Islanders. Like he alone brought me back to the way I felt in the early 80s when the Islanders were racking. I wore a Justin Brown jersey
when they played
like,
the game.
Actually, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't care what the Islanders do. But he actually made me pay attention and pray that the Islanders lost playoff games.
That was
like
his birthday wish
every
year.
With John Tinelli and all those other guys shoveling overtime goals, like Bobby Nystrom. So you've made the rivalry something for me, where these young kids today, they don't even know what the rivalry is. They don't even know.
Why? Because they think it's Felix Potvin who sucks?
No, but like young Islander fans.
They don't even know who he is, actually.
Yeah, at the Ranger games, young Ranger fans, they just do the chant because it's traditional.
Right.
And at the Coliseum or Barclay or wherever they're going to play next in Belmont Park with the horses, I'm telling you right now, the only thing that the Islander young kids that Islander fans know is to do that chicken dance song, right? Cluck, and the Rangers suck.
It was good with the 1940. It used to be good.
That was a torturous thing. But now
it's 94, and what's that, 20?
I know, you go one in 77 years. I know how you are.
Hey, listen, it's...
Is that the new math?
Yes,
second period, 15:07, still 0-0.
Still scoreless?
Scoreless. Let me just bring this up with Washington, just to change the subject for 1 second. You can sit in here.
Go ahead.
If Washington does get eliminated by Toronto, does Trotz, and do they start breaking up that team? Does Trotz get fired? Do they start breaking that team up?
I don't know about Trotz getting fired, but they may not be able to keep that team together and stay under the cap. There's going to have to be some changes.
Because this team is stacked right
now. There's like five or six guys, I think, that are under contract. Shattenkirk has 1 year left on his.
Yeah, there's some guys whose contracts are up, and they will have trouble keeping that team together.
I mean, they had a lot of free agents coming up.
Yeah,
they're built around Ovechkin, Backstrom, and Hopi. That's their money. Yeah. It's all invested in those three guys. You could trade Ovechkin or Tavares, if Tavares didn't sign, though. If they lose, you could make that trade. But you're trading an older guy for a younger guy. Tavares is younger. But that could be something
possible. I would actually do that trade. I would take that trade.
You could. Montreal could trade Carey Price for John Tavares if they really wanted to work a deal.
Oh, boy. Just news from Citi Field. Daniel Murphy just hit a grand slam home run. 4-0 Nationals.
Well, that's not
all right. There we go.
Oh, wait till Dr. Brook comes on in about 20 minutes. Our sponsor, who's he's got eight row seats at Citi Field, and he's definitely.
I got to be honest with you. I didn't even want to interrupt your show. What I planned on doing, but then I saw the sign: no drinks or food in here. I actually really wanted to sit here and eat my French toast and just gaze into Sweeney's eyes the entire time.
Let me
what I'm going to do is I'm going to sit out behind the window, and I'm going to every time I take a fork full, I'm going to just look in and gaze at him.
Let me tell you the story real quick. We'll make it fast. Let's tell a story real quick. Because a couple of years back, when you guys were playing Montreal in the playoffs, tell a story real quick what happened.
Well, you were like Tom Carvel. You had your own ice cream shop.
I had my own ice cream shop.
So the Rangers lost game 5 to Montreal, like 7-4. Hank got hammered, you know, before they won in 6 games. And I don't even remember the guy's name. I was talking to my cousin. I don't remember. But there was a guy that was French-Canadian that scored a hat trick. He might not have been French-Canadian, but he was on the Canadians, scored a hat trick, whoever it was. So he's like, oh, I'm going to come up with a new shake at my shop and call it a French toe shake. And he was hammering, you know, he was like, Montreal's gonna get the next one.
Come on over, get free French toast.
I'm like, you're killing me.
Isn't it David Desharnais?
That's who I thought it was, but I didn't want to bring up a name and be wrong about it.
I thought it was
Johnny. So all of a sudden, Johnny kept going on this French toast shake.
He was on Edmonton.
He kept texting me, and like it was burned into my skull, but the Rangers wound up winning in six games, and then he was on to wearing a Dustin Brown jersey till the...
Yeah.
Dustin Brown's from New York. I like the guy.
I forgot, so they played Montreal again. I said, you know what, if they come back, they win this, because they were down 2 games. So I'm like, he's texting me, and I'm like, you know what, they come back and win this series, I'm going to bring him French crullers, French toast. I'm going to bring that Ranger coffee cup, because I kept saying, hey, you want some coffee? I'll meet you for coffee. He's like, I won't drink out of that thing with a Ranger.
You know, I really took no interest in who was going to win the series, to be very blunt and honest with you. But, you know, if you would have known this, I would have told you to bring some poutine.
Oh, I apologize. This was all in his honor.
Okay.
Yeah. I really didn't think of anybody else.
No French fries?
No French fries.
But all the coffees are dark with half and half, no sugar. I brought sugar or Splenda on the side if you want, so there's coffee for you guys.
Wait, I will say
to celebrate the Rangers' big win.
That was a great series. It was a great win. It was a great hockey. Hank stood on his head. The Rangers got faster.
I'll tell you three things. One, I can honestly say as a diehard Rangers fan, objectively, because we can go back and I can prove or disprove whatever. But objectively, I can say that Lundqvist, this is the first time I can honestly say he won a series by himself against an elite goalie.
That
guy won the MVP a couple
times. To me, I don't think there was too much of a difference between Lundqvist. I mean, Carey Price stood on his head so many times.
He played great.
You know, obviously the game five double overtime, no one would have stopped that shot. No one would have.
But unlike Price, because you could debate a couple of them, mm-hmm. Lundqvist didn't give up one soft goal.
No, he did not.
There wasn't much scoring either way, but he didn't give up any soft goals. And I'll say this much, because a lot of times the Rangers, like when they went to the Cup, I remember they beat Pittsburgh in Game 7 in 2014, and he only had to make like one save in the last 5-6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times they would just show you a constant highlight of that. People would build him up, and I'm like, just let him win before you give him all this love, because that's sometimes he gets a little too much too soon. Mm-hmm. But Game 5, the overtime win the other night, he stopped Pacioretty on a breakaway with about 5 minutes left. That was huge. When he made that save, as a fan, I said, that's it. Get him a goal. He won't lose this game. And when he came off after that game, you could see it in his face. He gave a woo, like you go, whoa.
Yeah.
And then he was, and you could see it in his face. Like, that's a goalie entering a zone. And then last night, he made a save with like a .140 left, where Holden was weak on defense in front. McConaughey almost got it. And I'm telling you, I was up top looking right down at it, you know. And that's a save where, you know, like I described to you, if you're going to win a cup, a goalie has to stand on his head. Maybe not the entire 60 minutes, but he has to stand on his head at crucial moments. And that was one of them. And the only other two things I'll say are, they were pathetic in their game 3 at home, the first home game.
Yeah.
And McDonough spent the better part of that game feeling bad for himself. But after that, starting in game 4, for a guy who's not a vocal leader, McDonough, and everyone knows he can skate and he's got some offensive skill, but on the Rangers D, he had the least amount of body checks this year. Game 4 on, the last 3 wins, he added a physical, nasty dimension to his game, and everybody. I don't care what anybody says.
Well,
his teammates noticed that, and that's leadership.
Actually, you know what? You do stats at the Garden and stuff, because Brad and I were talking about it. How many block shots you think there were in that series?
There were a lot of some games. You know, like I think the overtime game, Montreal might have had more. I mean, I checked them at different times, but I don't do I do the concussion protocol.
Oh, okay.
But like last night, at one point, the Rangers had a lot more block shots.
Yeah, that was amazing last night.
In Game 5, I think it was the opposite way around.
And here's the other thing.
In Game 4, certainly.
You talk about McDonough. Do the Canadians want Scott Gomez back for that trade?
That's something that Clint Sather gets a lot of credit for, but I think Jeff Gordon had a lot to do with that, too.
Yeah.
Whoever had something to do with that's a difference
the Rangers,
in that series
since since the lockout, when they went to the salary cap, the Rangers, through the magic of whatever heads came together in the organization, including Clint Sather, I don't take anything away from what he's done, but when he first got here, he spent a lot of money. But they got out of trouble with a lot of contracts like Wade Redden and Chris Drury, some guys retired, and they made a couple of trades like that.
Yep.
Where Gomez and his contract was shipped off, and you brought back a first-round pick. You're like, oh, my God, look at this.
I will say this, and I've said it before. The salary cap actually saved Glenn Sather from himself.
Easily.
And made him a better GM.
Yes, absolutely.
And you know, in Edmonton, he didn't always have a lot of money to work with. He was blessed with some great players, but he almost had too much money to work with before the salary cap came in, and he was just spending it. Throw money against the wall and see what sticks.
No, I agree.
And the salary cap actually saved him from himself.
That's nobody can object to that statement. That's an easy statement, and it's accurate, 100% accurate.
But to his credit, he did a good job once he was faced with that, you know, that limitation.
Right.
And the Rangers have been contenders ever since the lockout.
Yeah, but I'm ecstatic. One, like I said, Lundqvist won a series that he clearly won on his own.
Conforto just hit a home run for
Well, that's
one.
Nice. I like Conforto. He's not on my fantasy team. And then, since that game, when they went down two games, one of the biggest turnarounds that helped win this series, because Lundqvist was great from the beginning till the end.
Yes.
But McDonough, in that nasty Astros defense, and the other thing was, because he was a culprit on that OT goal that lost game two up in Montreal, and he played lousy in game three, was Zibanejad, and he turned it around.
Yep.
Everybody knows the overtime goal from game five, but in game four, he was physical, threw a couple of big hits. He was much better skating and on the prowl offensively on the forecheck, and he brought it through in all three wins. And that was great, because a guy like that, to me, was feeding off what McDonough did as a leader, which showed you something that he doesn't normally do with a physical play.
Right.
And now I really think it's just a matter of, if Lundqvist stays in the zone, I think it's just a matter of Hayes, Miller, and Kreider getting their act together.
And you've got to see more from Stepan.
But Stepan is...
He had a good game six.
Right, but you know what? Unlike those three guys I mentioned, Hayes, Miller, and Kreider. And Hayes, he's going to assist. But Stepan is a playmaker.
Yes.
And he's a product of the guys playing with him. So the points will come with him. He's not a physical player. He throws the ball when he has it, but he's going to stand out as a sore spot at times, and that's just his game. But those three guys, they need to step
Kreider,
up.
Kreider, I think, needs to step up in a big way.
You know,
because it's unacceptable to play like that when it's such a physical series.
If Zuccarello had the physical ability, size, and as Kreider had, he'd be a top 4 or 5 guy in the league. Zuccarello is one of the hardest. Yeah. For a little guy, he's one of the hardest.
You know, I've told you this point. To me, he's like a left-handed version of Mark Pavlich. I love that.
Mark Pavlich.
Maybe a little bit more skill in terms of passing, but the same kind of guy.
Yep, absolutely.
Doesn't take anything from
I don't want to talk too much about the Rangers, because they make me sick. But I want to say this. Do you know a fun fact about your boy, Derek Stepan?
Stepan? What about him?
His father was drafted by the Rangers as well.
Oh, yeah, they did a show. They do Rangers Beginnings, and they did a show on that, and they talked about it.
Okay, so that's enough of that. Let's move on.
He just passed Adam Graves in Bray Park for points in Rangers playoff history.
Quota on Rangers.
I just can't sit here and look at that Ranger emblem, because it makes me sick.
But this one's good, right? Coffee?
Thanks for the donuts. I hope you choke on them.
French crawlers just for you.
Let me ask you this question. Now that you're playing Ottawa now, what's your prediction?
Against Ottawa?
Yeah.
I probably would say Rangers in six.
Oh, six?
I think if those three guys get their act together, because if Kreider doesn't raise his level, they'll lose somewhere along the line. Because he's that weapon that size, speed, and strength, there's no combination.
You're
like
if Kreider doesn't play
if he doesn't step up his play,
he hasn't really done.
They'll lose to somebody.
He was invisible for most of the series.
Usually Nash is invisible.
Let me tell you something. His best play, I always say about Kreider, if
he fanned on that.
As a power forward, if he's in the attacking zone and he doesn't have the puck, go to the front of the net.
Right.
If he has the puck on his stick,
like Lee
fire
does.
The puck. You're not a playmaker. And the best thing he did the entire series was on the OT goal by Zibanejad. Mm-hmm. When he got over the blue line, he tried to shoot the puck. It was blocked, but it took a right turn to Zibanejad.
Exactly.
But that was the best play he made. He tries to think too much. He winds up being like a Joe Rockhead. The guy has to be a power forward.
A to
B. And I'm sure the players are incensed with him. And the way McDonough was when I talk about the defense, that's the first time I seen and thought, hey, you know what? Jeff Boogaboom's running this defense.
Yeah.
And Dan Girardi, who had a rough couple of years, he reminded me of Boogaboom from like 25 years ago, because he laid out, he must have thrown like 10 huge hits in the series.
He found the fountain of youth.
He looked strong.
He looked
absolutely.
Like 3-4 years went off of his body.
Yeah, absolutely.
9:31 left in the second, still 0-0.
Still scoreless.
Yeah. That's shocking, because there's a lot of offensive talent on both of those sides right there. Yeah, I'm surprised.
We're going to have to hit commercial because I know our guest is coming on.
No, I appreciate you being a good sport. Let me come down.
No,
that's
Derek,
okay.
My
take
pleasure.
Your donuts back and hopefully
no, I want you
to
have French toast because I'm going to eat the French toast outside while I stare at you.
Okay. I'm saying so. You're saying,
I didn't leave until I'm done with that French toast.
Your prediction was Rangers in six.
I'll say Rangers. I think the Rangers need to do the same thing.
Okay.
They need to take
Rangers
2 out of 3
six.
In Ottawa
okay.
and 2 out of 3 at home. That's what they need to do. Same type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Well,
let's give the old whammy.
We'll see what goes. Hey, I wish you the best of luck.
All right, I did
the first round.
Hey, and thanks.
You want to wish me luck?
I'm not wishing you luck.
Because you're lying anyway. Even if you. I love you. Right.
My motto is I always go against whoever's playing the Rangers. No matter what.
On that note, we're going to pay a couple bills, and when we come back, Dr. Stephen Brook, my sponsor of the show, is going to talk. We're going to talk Mets and all the debacle that's going on at Citi Field. Sports Talk 1240. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Hey.
Listening to Sports Talk 1240 on Long Island's AM 1240. WGBB.
Country Foot Care, official podiatrists of the New York Lizards, have been delivering state-of-the-art foot care with good old-fashioned caring to Long Island residents for over 30 years. Specialists in sports medicine and foot injuries, Country Foot Care can be reached at 516-741-FEET or online at countryfootcare.com.
Want to advertise your business on Sports Talk 1240? Place an ad on sportstalk1240.com and run a radio commercial during the show every Sunday night here on AM 1240 WGBB. Our rates are very affordable. We'll even produce the radio commercial for you. Just head over to sportstalk1240.com and fill out the contact us form and let us start promoting your business today.
Unflippable, unflappable, unleakable. The Gustbuster is the only umbrella that won't flip inside out, rip, tear, or leak. Capable of withstanding winds over 55 miles per hour. All of our umbrellas are constructed of the finest quality materials and backed by a limited lifetime guarantee. What are you waiting for? Visit Gustbuster.com and get your Gustbuster today.
Stay connected to Sports Talk 1240 by following us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Sports Talk 1240.
You're listening to Sports Talk 1240, broadcasting every Sunday night beginning at 8 p.m. right here on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community. And now, back to the show.
And back to Sports Talk 1240, and thanks to Derek Wasiak for coming in and giving his lovely insight into his team, the Broadway Blue Shirts, New York Rangers, who obviously are moving on to face the Ottawa Senators in round number two.
Well, that was very entertaining.
It was entertaining, but of course, through that,
and he's very
we're waiting
excited
for our guest to join us, and I'm sure he's at home really not happy and very grumpy right now because of, obviously, Daniel Murphy, who is the Met killer. With the grand slam home run in the first inning, Wheeler's pitching, right?
Again, Wheeler's pitching tonight, but Murphy hasn't been playing that good lately.
What do you mean he's hitting .350?
You know, he was in a little bit of a slump the last couple
games. He didn't get a hit every game this year against Mets like he did last year.
He's in a little bit of a slump this before.
A little bit of a slump. 19.
A little bit of a slump, .350?
He's hitting .350.
Yeah, that's not a slump.
That's not a slump. Yeah, exactly.
It is for Murph.
Yeah. Well, he hit like .550 against the Mets last year?
He's betting .338, yeah.
.338. So, I mean, geez, that's really bad.
So it's 4-1 right now.
Conforto.
Since he came in, this guy's been a little bit of a spark plug. He hit a home run two nights ago.
What do you mean since he's been here the whole time?
But now he's starting now.
Well, he's having to start because Cespedes, right?
But I'm saying since he's been starting, he's been...
Well, he needs to keep playing.
He needed his form like he was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
When he first came up, but that short, compact swing that was boom, boom.
But you have to think about it from an outfield standpoint. You got Granderson, who's 35, right? You got to give him a blow every once in a while now. You can't put him in 140, 150 games a year. Cespedes is obviously going to need a day off here or there.
And he gets hurt.
Lagares is an injury waiting to happen. So you know what? It's a perfect situation for Conforto to still get a good, sizable number of at-bats during the season.
Right.
And you know what? He's been doing what he needs to do because he needs to keep punching because you got guys that are in Vegas. Brandon Immo will be back in Vegas again, you know, who obviously was right up there in the AAA title with Rivera last season. You know, so he's got to do what he needs to do to keep it in the lineup. And not only has he been doing it with the bat, but he's been doing it with the glove. He's made some great, great plays the other night. One in center, one in left. So,
he's doing it, but what is going on with Reyes? What is going on with Reyes?
I think Reyes isn't the player that they thought he was going to be 2 years ago. Like, Reyes played really good 2 years ago, and I think he's just getting up there.
I mean, okay, he's not the guy he was at 25, but he's not supposed to hit.
He's 31.
Yeah, but he's not supposed to hit 100 either.
Right.
080, 092 now, all right.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yeah, I know.
I rounded up.
He's half the Mendoza line, okay?
That's right.
He's only 50% of a Mendoza, which tells you that's pretty bad.
Yes. You know, their bats have cooled off, but, you know, they have, if healthy, they can arguably be the best pitching staff in baseball if everybody's healthy, with Harvey, if Syndergaard.
You know, the thing that scared me going into the season is all the talk. Because if you remember, obviously 20 years ago, you had the four studs.
Generation K.
You had, you know, Isringhausen, Pulsifer, Wilson, you know, and they were all predicted to be such superstars. And each one of them had an injury. Each one started to struggle. They couldn't do anything. They got hurt.
This is amazing, John.
This is
John, you didn't know he's sitting outside the glass. Eating French toast.
With a fork. Eating donuts with a knife and fork.
It's probably the best French toast he's ever had, right, Derek?
And he's drinking a cup of
A Ranger coffee.
And I'm drinking a Ranger. He gave me this coffee and it's got Ranger emblem on it. This is making me sick right now.
Hey, you gotta give a dog his day, you know?
No, he.
Oh, he's gonna get his day.
He'll get his day.
His day's gonna come.
He'll get his day coming soon.
Rangers in six.
All
right,
right? But the comparisons to this staff came back to that staff of the 90s. And obviously, Matt starts out the season on the DL with trouble in his arm. Wheeler comes back. I don't think he's really pitched terrible. I think his placement of his ball hasn't been well. He's got the speed, but obviously the results haven't come. DeGrom, I think this past start withstanding, has pitched well, has had no luck with the bats. Harvey, again, a different design.
He's pitching good.
Yeah. He's not the Matt Harvey that we saw 2 years ago, but I think he's learning how to pitch again. I think he's learning how to do.
Well, that injury was a tough injury. A lot of guys lost their career over that, mm-hmm. over the injury. Never came back healthy.
Exactly.
And it takes time.
You're not going to expect him to be that 99, 100 mile an hour thrower anymore.
I don't think he needs to pitch like that anymore.
No, exactly.
But he has to learn how to pitch a different way.
John, what's the dog think about the staff?
I don't know. I guess he's not happy about it.
5 minutes left in the second. Washington
still
zero,
no score Toronto, in the zero. ACC. That's going to be wow. That's tremendous. But again, here we are. The Mets are playing the Washington Nationals. Daniel Murphy hits a grand slam home run, 4-0. You know what is it with the Mets and the Nationals? It's like ever since the Montreal Expos moved to Washington, it's been lights out.
Yeah,
I don't know what it is with that team. It's just an amazing story how the Nats just do it, no matter who they put out there. And obviously it's Scherzer tonight. So, any update on the game there, Mr. Sweeney?
It was just still,
come on,
still
Mr. Stats.
4-1, still 4-1.
Top second, nobody out, 4-1 still.
Okay.
And the Yankees lost today to their old mate,
Nova. Yeah,
Nova beat the So the Yankees dropped 2 out of 3 in Pittsburgh. After an 8-1 successful homestand, I mean
they weren't going to keep
and Aaron Judge. Aaron Judge, I mean. First of all, I think it's a travesty for a baseball player. Well, Turk Wendell did it okay, but I think it's a travesty for a Yankee to wear number 99. What do you think?
There are no numbers left.
Yeah, that's true. There is no. That's true. Did they technically retire Torrey 6?
I believe
they did.
Have, yeah.
So when Jesus retired, then the lowest number anybody can wear for the Yankees is 11.
Right.
Yeah.
Pretty soon it's going to be 7.3.
Yeah, know? Exactly.
4.5. Right. You know.
Well, you could have number pi.
Pi, yeah.
Well, they'll have triple digits now.
You know, it's crazy. The Yankees retire way too many numbers. The Mets don't retire any, hardly. I mean, only two players have been honored in Mets history with retired numbers, and that's Seaver and Piazza. I prefer teams to keep it as a very rare honor.
Well, look what Toronto does.
Yeah,
they don't retire numbers. Actually, they did. They retired one.
Right,
but everything else, they're
they honor them.
Right, so guys can still wear number seven. You know, number seven's Tim Horton. You know, and all those other good, you know, the Dave Keons and all those guys. And I think that's a really cool thing, especially for a young kid in Ontario who grew up a Leaf fan and grew up watching, you know, seeing all these stars,
right.
And you get to wear the same number that they wore. You know, I think that's a pretty cool honor.
But no truth to the rumor the Yankees are having Paul Zuvella Day next week. They'll be retiring Mickey Klutz, you know, his number.
Should the Mets retire Bartolo Colon?
The bat should be in the Hall of Fame.
What about Carter, though? Gary Carter's like a borderline. Gary Carter did a lot for us.
Well, Carter only played five years.
But he was hurt for a good portion of those years.
It was very impact what he did. John, just getting back, I want to ask you one question since you're up in Buffalo, Johnny.
Yep.
What's going on up there? What happened with the Sabres?
Well, when I first got up here, all over the sports radio networks, there was all this speculation about what Buffalo was going to do. It was a disappointing season. You know, they really didn't do much better than they did last season. And there was a lot of rumors that the coach was going to go. And then supposedly the owners met with the players, met with the coach, met with the GM. And I guess after speaking to the players, they cleaned house. They fired both Tim Murray, the general manager, and Dan Bylsma, the coach. So the search begins for, and they want to hire a president of hockey operations along with a GM and a coach. So
that's you know what, that's where you wonder, obviously, you know, because there was always rumors coming around here, specifically, you're hearing the word Pat LaFontaine. You wonder. You know, obviously he's doing, amateur development and things like that with the NHL. Do you wonder if he's going to get that job in Buffalo?
Well, he can't seem to stay with the Islanders for now.
All right, so, look, we're gonna, John, change gears here. We got our guest coming on, and I know he's sitting in his house in Suffolk County and probably not happy right now. But this gentleman, for me, requires no introduction, but I will introduce him to everybody else. He is the sponsor of our portion of Sports Talk 1240. He is the owner of Country Foot Care in Mineola, Williston Park, and his name is Dr. Stephen Brook. And Dr. Brook, you got Gary, John, and Brad here. Good evening, and welcome to the show.
Hi. Gary, John, and et cetera. How are you guys doing?
How's it going? So, obviously...
Better than my baseball team.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's what we're going to say. Obviously, you got to sit on your easy chair, and the first inning was not a good 15 minutes for you, I guess.
Well, you know, they're playing with half a squad, so... if they don't get off to a quick start and they seem to struggle both offensively and pitching and defensively, I mean, they're just in a funk right now.
Well,
so.
Let me just ask you, obviously, personally, like I said, I've known Dr. Brook for almost 25 years. He's my podiatrist. And, you know, I know with all of your extensive experience, and I know you do work with the Lizards, with all the injuries of the last 6 days, have the Mets contacted you for some outside help?
I don't know that they can afford me.
No, I don't.
That's actually no. But I was out in the rain yesterday, shivering with my son, braving the weather, and to do that under the optimal playing conditions is one thing. But you know, freezing in the rain and only seeing two hits is really no fun at all. So.
Yeah.
I mean, hopefully we can get through this period. And, oh, my goodness, Reyes got a hit. I think we need to alert the media.
What is that up to now, about $106 maybe?
Is he over 100? Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
But
well,
if he steals a base, it's going to have a parade.
It's been full of surprises both ways. I mean, positively and negatively, I think. The positive parts, actually the thing that I'm most impressed with has been Matt Harvey, who instead of throwing the ball is now actually developing into a really fine pitcher. Instead of throwing 98, 99, he is pitching within himself. I love the way that he's working hitters now. It's a welcome change and a maturation that I'm sure his two major surgeries have precipitated with him, but it's wonderful. Wonderful to see, and I hope he can continue that, especially now. But my second surprise was really not a surprise only because of me knowing him, but Jay Bruce's play has really been a stabilizing force for a struggling offense. And I think that he is really showing people that why the Mets had faith in him. That and the fact that they couldn't trade him also went hand in hand. But, you know, sometimes the trades that aren't made are the best ones, and that looks like the case.
And he's actually pretty good at first base. You know, you know, the last couple of games. I mean, obviously the especially regarding the situation with where Syndergaard didn't cover the base, you know, everybody was saying, oh, you know, what was the problem here? Why wasn't, you know, to me, Jay Bruce in that situation, that I had to look at it again just to make sure. He actually did the perfect job as a first baseman. He threw the ball to the base, made sure it was supposed to be there, but, you know, why, obviously, between Syndergaard and whoever was.
Well, I think Walker running to the base to try to help actually hurt the play because both he and Syndergaard stopped short and the ball went right between them.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking someone who's playing out of position. I think that was either his first or second game in first base. And, you know, these things are going to happen. But, I mean, hopefully they can get healthy one player at a time. And their starting pitching, I think, has been pretty solid. But my third favorite person who I see growth with, of course, is Michael Conforto. Boy, I wish there was a place to play this kid every day. I just love the way that he approaches the game. And considering that the big knock on him when he came up was that he was a weak fielder, I've never seen something more untrue in a scouting report. He's wonderful.
The one thing that is stopping him from playing every day is his inability so far to consistently hit lefty pitchers. And once he doesn't get much of a chance
a lot of the times, too.
But, correct.
You know, you've got to work. You just have to work your way through that. And I think what's really stopping him is the $113 million contract and $115 million contract, which they're going to honor.
Right. I mean, no
space in my outfield.
Yeah. Well, we were saying before. You look at a guy like Curtis Granderson. You know, at the age of 34, you don't want to have him playing, you know, every game. So you give him, two days a week off. You know, obviously Cespedes, you know, is a nagging injury waiting to happen every 10 games or so. So you give him a day off. So I mean, it's not the worst situation, but if you work it out the right way, you can get Conforto potentially maybe 350 at-bats in this kind of a situation, don't you think?
Well, with their propensity for injury,
okay,
he could wind up getting 500 at-bats this year.
How
I see an aged outfielder in Granderson, and Cespedes looks monstrously big, so hitting home runs was never the problem, but I'd actually like to see him looking a little bit more flexible. He seems very, very bulky and very tight, and it lends itself towards leg injuries, exactly the kind that he has with his hamstring right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but you're not going to tell a superstar how to be. And I'm just looking physically. He just looks very, very, very bulked up.
How concerned are you this early in the season with the overuse of the bullpen?
That's a good question. I think that one of their key injuries preseason is having a big effect on this. And Seth Lugo, I didn't think was going to wind up being a starter this year. But if you have somebody that can pick up the middle two or three innings just to hold another team, it makes an enormous difference. And right now, I just don't see that player on this team. If their starters don't go seven, then they tax their bullpens. And that's a very serious problem.
I mean,
they've got a lot of people on the staff, but, you know, a lefty specialist who goes short, you know, the closer who obviously has not hit his rhythm yet. And so until the roles are defined and people are actually performing at the level that we have seen in the past, this is going to be a rough ride for a while. I really see that coming. And with Miami looking on the upside, and even Philadelphia. I mean, there's a lot of good young hitters on these teams, and our team without our bats really disadvantage us, even in our own division, and we're feeling it because there's a lot of good talent in the National League East this year.
Yeah, it's not going to be a cakewalk. And you said Jerry Blevins is on pace, I think, to break Mike Marshall's record of 106. I think he's on pace for like 112. But just give us a little scouting, other than the Daniel Murphy that wants to beat the Mets every single game and go 4-for-4 and getting the grand slam in the first inning. How has Wheeler looked other than that one pitch?
I think that Zach is on the mend. The true recovery time is, as Wheeler is demonstrating, an unknown variable. 2 years to get back to pitch is a lot, but I think that Wheeler also is coming back pitching more intelligently instead of just throwing the ball. I just see that he seems more controlled, which I like. You know, you're going to have a great hitter take when that's his game, but hopefully a four-run deficit is not an insurmountable lead for a team with as much firepower as we have when we're healthy and we're hitting.
As long as we're getting more than two hits.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the night's not over yet. We have two hits so far.
always the eternal optimist.
I think that there's a lot of promise here, but it's what I think about all sports. The team that stays healthy has the better chance of getting the best potential out of their players, and the Mets just look like they've been through a battle. That's how beat up they look.
It's a 162 game season too, you know. So it's like, you know, to kind of with a small sample size of 18 games, and I've already heard some of my Mets fan friends already, you know, talking about the season being done, which I think is ridiculous.
Well, when they came back in 2015 at the All-Star break, they didn't look like they would even contend. And right. Yet they had a second half that was on fire. They picked up all those key at the trade line acquisitions, including Cespedes, and it completely transformed that team. You know, but that team had a lot of chemistry. And I think that as we stay together and play healthy, I think that we can contend, but for those who have doubt, there's a lot of gifted players down in the minors that are one step away. I hope the Mets don't rush them up here, but their first baseman of the future feels like Keith Hernandez and looks like Cespedes. He's a big guy.
Yeah, I saw him in spring training. I saw him hit a monster shot.
But what a slick fielder. You know, I remember when Lucas first picked up the first baseman's glove. I mean, I know he was in Queens and I was on Long Island, but I was hiding under my bed. I said, I hope he catches it. But, you know, we'll see. It's very early. You know, just over 10% of the season is done, and we'll see who stays healthy and who reaches their potential.
Hey, what's the timetable on Matt's coming back?
It's unknown. They really don't know. I've heard that both Mats and Lugo have been throwing, so they're doing baseball activities. But to the best of my knowledge, there is no set time for their return.
Yeah, because especially for a guy like Mats, if he's only just starting to throw the ball now, you got to think it's at least 4 to 6 weeks before he even sets his foot back up here.
Because I'm sort of concerned about his frailty. I mean, he looks like a big, strong kid, but, you know, his Achilles heel is his elbow, no pun intended. And so he still has to demonstratively show that he can go out and, you know, make 30 starts. And right now we really don't know whether he can.
As a longtime Mets fan, it is difficult for me to see David Wright try every year, go out there, prepare. I've heard his regimen before a game when he is even able to play is takes him almost an hour to be massaged and stretch and get ready for a game. Do you think we ever see David Wright playing on a regular basis for the New York Mets again?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No.
That at best, he would be a part-time player, but what we're seeing is how much of this game is really mental. He is pushing like he's going to come back as a full-time player, and I think when it finally sets in that he is not going to be able to operate at that level, does he really have the mindset to play twice a week, or, you know, to be the person who spells the regular third baseman? I'm not sure.
Well, right now,
but I do
right
see him
now,
on the bench a lot. I mean,
even if he is on the bench, if it takes him an hour to get warmed up, working on his back and everything, I mean, how is he going to even pinch hit? I mean, what is his preparation for that?
Well, right now, if he would be replacing a guy that's batting 098, it might not be too bad.
Well, actually, they make a great tandem because Reyes can throw and Wright can hit. So take a little of each, and you've got yourself a real third baseman there.
Yeah. So, obviously, prognosis, right now, they're at 8-10, I believe, depending on the outcome of the game here. And I think Atlanta comes in.
You're like 4.5 out of first.
Yeah, they're 4.5 out of first. Like, as you said, a tough division, but maybe hopefully getting out of the Eastern Division for a couple of weeks may be just a help for this team.
I don't remember ever seeing a team open a season since division play, for sure, with so many games within their own division. It's just a relenting, pressing extra weight on your shoulders when you're playing your own division.
Right.
So I think they're going to look at San Francisco coming in as kind of a break. And
yeah,
with Baumgartner on the DL, I think that's a break. So
yeah,
I'm
that sure
sort of happy
is.
About that, but sad about how he got hurt.
Yeah.
I'm sure glad to not face him.
Well, listen, really, Dr. Brooke, we got like 2 minutes left, so we're gonna let you go. But listen, we appreciate you coming on again. For those of you who don't know, Country Foot Care in Willis Avenue in Mineola and in Williston Park at Country Foot Care. He is the best. I recommend him highly for anybody that ever needs any podiatric assistance. We appreciate you coming on, and I always appreciate you sponsoring this show for us.
Thanks, Gary.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. All right, take care.
Just a quick update on the hockey. It's still 0-0 going into the third.
Wow.
It hasn't started yet, but going into the third.
Wow, that's
great. That's a shocker with all that offensive power on.
Yeah, all that offense, you're right.
Mm-hmm.
It's playoff hockey. It's a different ball game. It's more defense. They buckle down.
Come on, you got 2 minutes. Come on, get back here.
I just want to say that I'm in a really good mood tonight. You know, if I had control of the studio, I would pop in a little Casey and the Sunshine Band. I may have to play a little disco music on the way home for you, Sweeney. I'll call you.
I'm getting a headache right now. It's okay. Hey, look, you take it as it goes. We didn't make the play. Look, it's bad enough that the Rangers advanced last year. They were 1-done last year. We
that
went
was your battle cry this
hold
year.
On,
with
hold
me.
On, hold on, hold on. We went to the second round this year.
Did.
We didn't make the playoffs.
You did,
and. Yeah, we had some difficulties, which I still don't know why.
What's your next? What's your next slogan going to be with me? Because that was your battle cry to start the playoffs.
All right, we got 1 minute, done, guys. So. We got 1 minute.
Okay.
Just saying.
It's still
go,
zero,
give,
zero.
Give it.
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
I don't. I was hoping he was going to give the battle cry, but since he did,
you have to call me during the week and let me know what your stance is. Are you going to buy an Eric Karlsson jersey from Ottawa and wear that?
I'm predicting that the Rangers are going to win.
Well, anyway. Listen, Brad,
Rangers,
thank you for coming
Rangers
down.
Thanks for
six,
having me.
What about you guys? What's your prediction?
Rangers in six, I agree.
I'm predicting a 7-game series.
Don't be offense, right? Who do you think is going to win? Just tell
I
me.
Have no. I didn't make a pick in the first round. I'm not
that's
making a pick
great.
In the
How
second.
About you?
Rangers in six.
All right, there you go.
I would say the Rangers are going to win seven games.
I would say that if you had to put a gun to my head, I'd say Rangers in seven.
All right. Legitimate predictions. Let's hope it's right for my sake.
Whoever wins this Washington-Ottawa series, the Washington-Toronto series, Pittsburgh's winning that thing anyway.
That
makes sense.
That's a pretty strong stance right there.
That's it. Bottom
hey,
line.
John, listen, enjoy the rest of your time up in beautiful East Amherst, New York.
John, take care.
I will be back live for the next
Is
show.
That Panarese?
Yeah, he's in Buffalo.
Hey,
yeah.
Panarese, how do you think the Rangers are playing at home now that you gave me a hard time on the phone? I forgot you were still there. I should have been talking to you all along. All those tweets and
Call,
texts
you know what?
Me.
We got to go for the next half hour of Sports Talk 1240. In the words of Bill Hayes, keep skating, everybody. Have a great week.
Let's go, Rangers.
Expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.